This morning, we're going to look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 38 and just read a few verses. We're going to go to verse 42, so a small chunk this morning. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. It's on the back of your program. We're going to read from the English Standard Version, the ESV. If you have your Bible, I always encourage you to open up your Bible and find that in there so maybe you can underline or make notes or whatever you'd like in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible this morning, we'd love to give you one on your way out at the Welcome Center over here. We'd love to have you have your own copy of the Bible. So Luke chapter 10. We've been walking through Luke and following Jesus around as he teaches and does miracles, as he interacts with people 2,000 years ago. Before we read it, let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone to the store, the grocery store particularly? Have you ever gone to the grocery store because you needed one thing? You know the end of the story. Maybe we should just read, right? So you needed one thing. Maybe you're making something, and you're like, I don't have that one thing that I need, and so I got to go to the store. Or maybe, you know, your wife tells you, would you please go to the store and get this one thing? We really need it. So you go to the store for the one thing, and then you get in the store, right? And then you realize all of these other things are there. And there's things that are on sale that you didn't know you needed, but now you realize you need. And so you start taking other things off the shelf and think, well, I need this, and we probably need this, and ooh, I really like this. And so then you get all of these many things. Now you have many things, and you go to the cashier, and you give them money, you check out, you put it in a bag, you go to your car, you put the bags in the car, you get home, you take the bags out of the car, you get into the kitchen when it dawns on you, right, that you got all these many things, but you didn't get the one thing. You didn't get the one thing that you needed. So good. I'm glad I'm not the only one that's done that. You know what? That can happen in our relationship with God. That can happen in our relationship with God. There's one thing that we really, really need. But sometimes as we walk through life, we can get distracted by all of these other things. Not just bad things. Those can be distracting. But sometimes it's also just good stuff. And we start taking things off the shelf, and we start kind of filling the carts of our life with all of these other good things when we can get down the road and we can realize, man, I don't have the one thing that I really need. Or I'm not incorporating this one thing that I really need in my relationship with God. So Jesus is going to teach us this morning. Let's see what Jesus says in the midst of this encounter with two sisters. Let's start in verse 38. Let me read and you follow along. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So Jesus is with his apostles, his disciples, at least 12, maybe more, because it uses the word they. Did you see that in verse 38? They went on their way, and Jesus entered a village. So he had a group moving with him. And these two sisters have Jesus into their home. And we might be able to assume here that wasn't just Jesus. The apostles just didn't wait outside the door. But there was this group that went into their home. And one sister, did you see, one sister did one thing. And the other sister did a lot of things, many things. And so there was conflict. There was some conflict there. And Jesus steps in, and he diagnoses what's going on, and he makes the comment. Did you see that in verse 41, 42? But one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. So what does Jesus mean by that? What is he talking about? What is that one thing? As we look at this, what is the one thing he's talking about? Here's number one. We're going to look at three or four things in this passage, but here's number one if you're following along on your outline. Number one is, here's the one thing, to sit and listen to Jesus. That's the one thing in this passage that Jesus said is most needed, to sit and listen to Jesus. Now, we see that with Mary. That's what she does. That's what she does, right? So Martha invites him in, and so as they come in, Mary makes the choice to sit down at Jesus' feet and listen to him. Now, the picture here, sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him, the picture here is Mary is being a, that's what a disciple is. That's what a follower does, is they sit and they listen at the feet of Jesus. She's being a student. She's being a disciple of Jesus. It's a phrase that we see other in other parts of the Bible. We saw it actually a couple chapters ago. Do you remember the man who had a bunch of demons in him? And Jesus meets him, and this is a man who was living naked in a cemetery because no one could control him. They would put straitjackets and chains on him, but he would break free, and he couldn't live in the village with anybody else, so he would live in the cemetery. And here's Jesus who helps this man who is helpless, who is hopeless, and he rescues him from the demons. And the man wanted to follow Jesus. He's like, please, Jesus, let me get in the boat. Let me go with you. And Jesus says, no, stay here. Go and tell your people what I've done for you. But there's a picture right in there where all the townspeople come up. They hear what's happened, and they see the man. And it says in Luke chapter 8, as they see the man dressed, now that was new because this man typically wasn't, that he was in his right mind. That was new too because he typically wasn't. And it says he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Same phrase, sitting at the feet of Jesus. See, it's a picture there. That's what followers of Jesus do. They sit at his feet and they listen to what Jesus says is true, and they listen to what Jesus says to do. They listen to him. We also see it in another place in the Bible where in Acts chapter 28, Paul says, he's describing his background. He says, I was educated, Paul says, at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a renowned teacher, a rabbi in that day. This was before Paul was a follower of Jesus. He says he was a follower of Gamaliel. That's what that phrase means, is he was a disciple of this particular teacher. Now, this is what, that's the picture here. Mary is making a choice to be a disciple, to be a student, to sit and listen to Jesus. That's the picture. And what a great description of following Jesus, isn't it? What a great description that we would sit and listen to Jesus. Now, listening, that makes sense. If we're going to follow Jesus, we need to listen to what he says. I used to say to my boys when they were little, I used to say to them, you can lead from the back, but you can't follow from the front. Because a lot of times they'd always want to walk out in front, right? They want to lead, but they're four. They don't have any idea where they're going. And so I'd tell them, you can't follow from the front. You know, make sure you're following from the back. See, we can't follow Jesus if we don't listen to Jesus. We can't. Because we're not following him if we're not listening to him. We're following ourselves, or we're following somebody else, or we're following what we think is right. See, if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to do what Mary did. We have to listen to Jesus, because you have to know what Jesus thinks. You have to know what direction Jesus is pointing. We have to listen to him. Now, Mary had a bit of a leg up because Jesus was right in her living room. And she could sit right there. She heard Jesus like you're hearing me with her physical ears. Now, but you know what we're doing? We're doing the same thing here this morning, aren't we? We're listening to Jesus. This is a quote. There's quotation marks in my Bible around Jesus saying one thing is needed. We're listening to him. You're sitting here and listening to Jesus. See, if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to do this. We need to listen to what he says. And not just on Sundays, but we need to be continually listening to what he says. And he's given us the Bible. The book of Luke is amazing because we're following him around. We're listening to what Jesus says. And we need to soak our lives with the Bible to listen to what he says so that we can know what is true, know how to think, know what to do, know which way to go, to listen to him. So the question for you and I this morning is how well and how, maybe even how much, are we listening to Jesus? When I've told this in the one-on-one class so many times, so you probably heard this, but when I got to college, I had read most of the Bible. I don't even think I had read all of it. But I had this arrogant attitude that I got it. I've listened to it. I understand what the Bible says. I've got that down. And almost the attitude of I didn't need to keep reading it. I didn't need to keep listening because I knew it. See, that's not how it works, is it? See, following Jesus, we need to keep listening to it. See, we never finish reading the Bible. You might get to the end of it, but that doesn't mean you should stop reading it. We need to keep listening to Jesus. We need to keep listening to him. And you might think, well, I already knew that, I already read that. But, you know, it's so easy for us to forget. And even worse than that, it's so easy for us to hear it and then not do it. We need to continually listen to him. But there's another word in here. See, Mary just didn't listen, but she sat. Do you see that? She sat at the feet of Jesus. So here's the picture. Martha's doing a lot of things, good things, not bad things, good things. But she's moving around. What is Mary doing? She's sitting still. She's sitting still. She's right there up close to Jesus. She's looking at him. She's sitting still. You know, it's a lot easier to listen to somebody when you're sitting still. It just is, right? I mean, I try to do this with my boys and my wife. Maybe you try to do this where we're trying to do something else, right? Or we're looking a different direction and we're busy doing something and I tell myself I'm listening, but I don't listen as well to my boys or to my wife as when I'm sitting still and I'm looking at them and I'm just, okay, I'm not going to multitask here. I'm just going to listen to you. See, there needs to be regular times where we sit still when we listen to Jesus. Now, I love my iPhone. I listen to Kindle books all the time. It reads it to me. I listen to the Bible. When I'm driving down the road, I try to, you know, work on memorizing scripture. I always like to do two things at once, and that's good, and we should do that. But here's the thing. We need to have regular times where we sit still and listen. We can't just multitask our spiritual life. There's got to be times where we do what Mary did and we sit still and we listen. I don't know what that looks like for you. I know what it looks like for me is that I need to be on my knees or on my face fairly regularly if I'm going to listen well. Because there's something about being on my knees, being on my face on the ground where I'm still, where my heart can be still too. My heart can be still so that I can listen well. For me, there's a direct connection with the amount of time that I spend on my knees and on my face. There's a direct connection between that and how much I'm reflecting Jesus and how much I'm operating off what he says and operating off of who he is. There's going to be a time where I can't get on my knees. There's going to be a time I can't get on my face on the ground. So it's not a rule that all of us have to do that, but my question to you is, how do you sit still with Jesus? How do you sit still with Jesus? Where you're just still, you're sitting, you have the Bible open, and you're listening to him. We've got to do that to be able to follow him well, to do what Mary did, to sit and listen to Jesus. That's the one thing that's needed. Here's number two. One thing is needed. Number two is we need to be careful. Don't be distracted by other good things. It's our other takeaway from this passage. Don't be distracted by other good things. So Mary's sitting and listening. Did you see what Martha in verse 40? It says, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Jesus says in verse 41, he diagnoses Martha's heart and her problem. He says, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. So she was distracted, she was anxious, she was troubled by many things. The idea of this word distracted is that she was drug away. It's this idea that something grabbed her and pulled her away. It wasn't even like she was, oh, you know what? I choose to be distracted. I choose to be anxious. I choose to be really troubled by all these things I'm doing. No, the idea was that something grabbed her and she got drug away. It was like this gravitational pull towards stress. You ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like something just pulls you away from your focus on the Lord? That it pulls you away from listening to Him? It just feels like it's out of your control and it pulls you away. Sometimes it can be like that with sin. Temptation can come and it just seems like temptation's voice is so strong, it just pulls us away from Jesus. Sometimes it can be, financial things and relational things and emotional things. It's just, things come and cares and anxieties come and they pull us away. But what is it that pulls Martha away here? What does it say? What does Luke tell us? Martha was distracted with what?
Serving.
It wasn't temptation that was pulling her away. It wasn't even financial stuff and all of that. It was good things. She was serving. She was serving Jesus. But serving Jesus distracted her from Jesus. Do you see that? See, sometimes it's not even the bad things that pull us away. Sometimes it's the good things that pull us away. And what's happening here is Martha, and you can probably imagine this. Just think of Thanksgiving. Think of Thanksgiving. Right, the night before, the morning of Thanksgiving, when you're trying to get all of the things cooked and make sure they're all done at the same time, and you have 14 people like Martha, you have 14 plus people in your home, and so you're worried about the dust, and you're worried about the green beans getting done at the same time, the mashed potatoes, and you're not sure how long the turkey's been in, and pretty soon you're so focused on all of the things you're doing to serve the people that you forget the people you're serving. And maybe you even snap at them a little bit. And maybe you even kind of wish that it would all just be like Friday instead of Thursday. See, Martha is distracted by all the stuff she's got to do to be a good host. Now, whose idea was it for Jesus to come in and have a meal or hang out with them? Whose idea was it in this story? Who does it say? Who welcomed him in? Martha. It was her idea. It wasn't Mary. Mary didn't say, hey, Jesus, come into our home. I want to sit at your feet. No, it was Martha. Martha had a good heart to host Jesus and his apostles. But one thing led to another, to another, to another, to another. And she walked out of the grocery store, so to speak, with a whole handful of things. And she was stressed. And she almost missed Jesus because she was so busy serving Jesus. You know, good things can distract us. Good things can distract us. You know, if you're a parent of young kids, you know, you have it in your heart. If you're a parent of older kids, you have it in your heart to do good things for them, to help them and to get them involved in activities and to come alongside them. And they get up early. And they go to bed early sometimes when they're real small, right? But you're so exhausted anyway. At that point, you're going to bed early too. And you're doing good things, maybe with work, maybe the things that you're doing at work, they're good. You're helping people, you're serving people, and yet work sometimes can be overwhelming. And the things you do to serve Jesus, you want to serve other people, you want to serve Jesus, and so we sign up for things, and we decide we're going to do things, and we try to reach out to people, and sometimes those things, it can lead to anxiety, and we can be troubled, and we can be distracted from Jesus by doing things for Jesus. It may be more common than we think. That we can be so busy doing things for Jesus that pretty soon we haven't been spending much time with Jesus, sitting and listening to him. So here's the thing about this story though for us. See, the point of this story is don't stop doing good things. Don't stop doing good things so you can spend time with Jesus. Don't get rid of everything. The point is, you know, obviously we can't leave our little kids and just stop being a parent. We can't leave our jobs and just stop being a worker because, oh, I'm getting anxious by it. We shouldn't stop serving Jesus. because we're distracted from Jesus. See, the point is not to stop the many things. The point is to make sure you're doing the one thing. That's the point of this, is to make sure we're doing the one thing that's needed in the midst of doing other things that are good things. That we not substitute serving Jesus, serving other people, doing good things, thinking we're okay, and not substitute that for connecting and sitting and listening well to Jesus. Because if we listen, it's going to inform everything else we do. If we don't listen, the other things we do, it's going to go sour. Don't be distracted by other good things. It's kind of a sub-point there. It kind of goes with distraction. Jesus uses this word anxious. So, see, here's 2A on your program. Anxiety will lead you astray. It's the other observation we have here. See, anxiety will lead us astray. Anxiety, anxiousness, being troubled, it's a nasty master, and it does not lead us well. Now, it leads Martha astray. Do you see this? Now, it leads her astray because now she's fussing instead of listening. But there's a couple other things that we see in how it leads her astray. Look at what Martha does. When she goes to Jesus, she talks to Jesus in verse 40, and she says she went up to him and she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Let's pause there just for a second. She asked Jesus, "Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" You know what she's, you know, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? You know, so what that shows is it's led her astray. Her anxiety has led her astray in how she thinks about Jesus. Because she's in the kitchen and she's worrying about the pots and the pans and the dishes and the dust and setting the table and all of these other things, drawing the water so Jesus' feet can be washed and everybody else's feet can be washed. And before she knows it, she looks over and she sees Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and she's thinking, "What in the world? I'm doing all of these things, and Mary's sitting there. She's just sitting there. I'm running myself ragged. She's just sitting there. She needs to be in here helping me. I'm all by myself. This is too much. I can't do this. She should be in here." And Jesus sees it, like he's talking to her. Why doesn't Jesus tell her to do something about my problem? Jesus needs to tell her to help me. You know what? I'm not even sure that Jesus cares. I don't know if Jesus cares that I'm doing this. And so, again, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And she says to Jesus, you know, here's what she's saying? She's doubting that Jesus cares. Now, let's back up a second. If you've been walking through Luke with us, how does Jesus interact with people? Does Jesus interact with people? Does he care about people? Man, we've seen so many examples of that, right? We already mentioned one, the man with all the demons, who lived a lonely life naked in a cemetery. Did Jesus care about him? Yes. He rescued him. A woman whose son, her only son, had died. Jesus raises him from the dead and gives him to his mother. Did Jesus care about that man? Did Jesus care about that widow? Yes. So many things. In fact, in the months ahead, you know what's going to happen? Martha's brother is going to die, and Jesus is going to raise Martha's brother from the dead. Does Jesus care about Martha? Yes. But see, anxiety is a nasty thing, and it lies to us. Stress lies to us, and it begins to whisper things in our head saying, "God doesn't care. Look at all of this going on. Look what you're doing. God doesn't care. Jesus doesn't care. Or he would do something about it. He sees it. He's ignoring it. He doesn't care." Have those kind of thoughts ever gone through your head? See, anxiety leads us astray. Don't believe anxiety. Don't believe it. And if we're in the midst of it, we're not seeing clearly. What else does she say to Jesus? Now, she says to him, verse 40, "Tell her then to help me." Okay. Who's she talking to? Jesus, okay? Now, what this is a command. That's the way this is phrased here. Martha is giving Jesus a command. She's saying, "Jesus, tell her to help me." It's not a question. It's not a, hey, I'm struggling. It's tell her to help me. See, anxiety leads us astray in how we approach God. See, Mary approached God to listen. Martha approached Jesus to tell him what to do. Anxiety is a nasty thing. See, anxiety wants to control, right? We know how things should be. We've got this thing all diagnosed, and so when we go to God, sometimes we're telling God what to do. God, this is a mess, so I need you to fix this person, and this person, and this person, and this person. God, just do it, please. And sometimes we think if we say please at the end, right, it's okay. Listen, if you're approaching God telling him how to fix other people, it's a red flag. It's a red flag. And you, what Jesus does here, he often does in our life. You know, we can approach God. We've got it all figured out. Other people are the problem. We're telling Jesus what to do with the other people. And sometimes Jesus cuts through that and he just says, Martha, Martha, I have some things to say to you. You've got everybody else diagnosed, but what I want to do is I want to deal with your heart. And that's what Jesus does here, and that's what he wants to do with us. Listen, maybe this morning that's where you're at, and you pretty much got it figured out that your spouse just needs to change, and that they need to change in some pretty specific ways. And so you're praying for your spouse, but what you're praying for your spouse is that God would change your spouse the way you think your spouse should be changed. And maybe this morning, God needs to tell you, listen, wait. I've got some things to say to you. I've got some things to say to you in your heart to help you. Maybe you've got it figured out with your kids. Maybe you've got it figured out with your friends. Maybe you've got it figured out with everybody that if God would just change other people the way you know that they should be changed, that everything would be okay. See, anxiety leads us astray in how we think about God and how we approach God. We need to approach God to listen, to ask him, and not to tell him what to do. What's the last thing? The last thing we pick up from this interaction with the two sisters is that, number three, we need to choose the best thing. You and I need to choose the best thing. He says to Martha, 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 you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needed. And then he says, Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen the good portion. Choose the best thing. It's interesting, this word choose, because that's an active word. See, Mary wasn't drug away. She wasn't pulled away. She wasn't pulled away to listen to Jesus. She actively chose to do that. Martha was pulled away. She was drug away by all these other cares and much serving. But Mary made the conscious choice to sit and listen to Jesus. You know, it's most of the time, it's not our bent to sit. It's not our bent to sit still and listen. You know, a lot of times, even if we're quiet as somebody's talking, we're thinking about the next thing we're going to say, right? So we may be quiet, but that doesn't mean we're necessarily listening. It's not our bent to listen. Maybe it's our bent to fix, or our bent, we kind of have it figured out, and if they just let me talk, then this would all get fixed. See, listening can be hard. It's not our bent to listen. We're going to have to choose. We're going to have to choose to listen to Jesus. Because our bent is going to be, we've got it figured out, and we're going to go off, and we're going to operate off of what we think. But we need to choose to listen to Jesus. And it's not our bent, it's not our default, many of us, to sit still. It's not easy to sit still sometimes. I mean, try it. Like, this afternoon, go to your living room, sit still, don't have a book, don't have anything, and just sit there. Don't have the TV on, don't have a remote, don't have a coffee, just sit there. For, I don't know, 30 minutes, 60 minutes. It's not easy. It's not our bent. Maybe especially as Americans, right? It's not our bent to sit still. Now, you know, the call here is not to sit still all the time. That's laziness. But there's somewhere in between laziness and constant busyness where we need to sit still and listen to Jesus. It's not easy. It's not our bent. If we're going to do it, we're going to have to choose it. There's something else in this story, though, that maybe we don't see in 2019 in America. See, in, what was this, 30 AD, Israel, there were some cultural barriers that Mary was choosing to ignore. Some cultural expectations that she was choosing to ignore in order to sit and listen to Jesus. See, a woman's place was to be preparing the food for the men. It was not her place to sit and listen to the teacher. Over and over in Luke, you know, we'll catch this as we go through. Over and over in Luke, Luke highlights these women that are following Jesus. That was not typical. Jesus was going out of his way to allow women to follow him, to allow others, the outcasts, to follow him. See, Mary's place was to be serving right alongside Martha. Maybe that's why Martha felt so justified in going to Jesus. Jesus knew this. The apostles knew this. I know this. Mary knows this. Our whole culture knows this. Why is she not helping me? That's what she's supposed to be doing. But Mary chooses to push against that because it's not every day Jesus is sitting in her living room. So she chooses to sit and listen. A woman's place was to prepare the meal, and yes, she could step into the circle of men, but it was to leave the food and then go back. In many ways, we see this in Africa. It's a similar culture. The women are over here preparing the food. The men are sitting in a circle, and it's very rare for a woman to come into the circle and just sit down and be part of the conversation. Culturally, that wasn't the expectation, but Mary pushes against that, and Jesus, do you see what? He did not take it away from her. He doesn't say, yeah, you got to listen to culture. You got to live up to that expectations. No, he welcomes Mary to sit and listen, even though it's against the culture. Listen, there may be some things in our culture that in the current of our culture will sweep you away and make it hard for you to choose to sit still and to listen to Jesus. And there may be some things that we have to press against and push past and choose to go against in order to carve out time to sit and to listen to Jesus. We have to choose that. It's not just going to happen. We've got to choose that. That's what Jesus says. Why? Because it's necessary. It's needed. Jesus said, this thing is needed. You know, it really is crucial for us to listen. I mean, maybe we can check that off and we can say, yes, I know that. But if we look at the history of the Bible, I mean, if we rewind and go all the way back to the beginning, to the first three chapters, you know, it was not listening to God that got us all in the huge mess we're in. Adam and Eve, God told them, give them some pretty specific directions, what they were to be doing, where they could eat, and the one thing that they could not eat from. But they didn't listen to him. They chose not to listen to him, and they did their own thing. So there's this whole avalanche of consequences. Now we are born, and everybody between Adam and Eve and us are born with a bent not to listen. We see it in the Old Testament, where God, he doesn't give up. He doesn't give up on humans, on his creation. So he speaks to Moses up on the mountain. He tells Moses who he is and what he, and the way that they were to walk, the Israelites. And over in the Old Testament, that's the problem. They don't listen. They don't sit still and they don't listen. They do their own thing. They ignore God and they do their own thing. See, it really is important. It really is needed. In the Old Testament, they brought all kinds of consequences on themselves because they didn't listen. It's very needed for us to listen. But, you know, it's not just necessary. We don't just choose to listen to Jesus because we're supposed to. We choose to listen to Jesus because it's good. It's good. He's good. It's best. You see what Jesus kind of changes it up a little bit in verse 42. He says, Mary has chosen the good portion. He doesn't say necessary here. He changes it up, gives us a little different flavor, and he says she's chosen the good portion. The idea here is the better portion. You know, when you pick a cookie off the plate, I mean, there's good cookies, and then there's the best cookies. Maybe they're bigger, or maybe they're not. Maybe they just have more chocolate chips. So whether you do it or not, there's probably something in you that wants to choose the best portion from the cookie plate. Not because you're supposed to, but because you want to, because it looks good. And that's the picture, that sitting and listening to Jesus, it really is good. It really is good. It's the good portion. It's the best thing that we could do is to listen to him. But there's a lot of good things that we know are good for us, right? But we don't do them. I mean, maybe not all of us in this room, but at some point, probably most of us, we know what's healthy to eat. We know it's good for us to eat, not just all chocolate chip cookies, right? But other stuff, green stuff. But do we always do that? I mean, we know it's good for us, but we don't always do it. Exercise, we know exercise is good for us, right? So it's good for us, so you'd think we'd all be doing it. And maybe most of us are, but not all of us, because I'm here. But we know it's good for us, but we don't always do it. But see, this is a different kind of good. See, Jesus is a different kind of good. Because one of the reasons we should choose to sit and listen to Jesus is because Jesus chose to come and talk to us. And what's so amazing about that is Jesus is perfect, and we're not. See, Jesus chose to come to people that historically, and actually the Bible says every one of us, he chose to come and speak to people who chronically ignore him. Who do the opposite of what he says. He chose to sit in this living room with Mary and Martha and his disciples, even though as a person, all of us have not sat still with Jesus. We've actually run the other direction from Jesus. But still, he chose to come. And not just speak, but Jesus chose to die, to live a perfect life that we should have lived but haven't, and to die a death that we all should die. But he died and paid the punishment for us. See, that's the gospel, that Jesus died for our sin. And there's a different kind of good about the gospel. It's a good that Jesus proactively chooses and has chosen to pursue us with his life and his death, and to offer us a way to be forgiven and to come to him. Maybe for the first time this morning, your soul needs to sit still. Your soul needs to sit still. You need to turn from your sin and be still. You need to turn from maybe your efforts to become right with God, and just your soul needs to sit still and look to Jesus and listen to him say to you that you have sinned and that you have not listened to him. But that in spite of that, he chose to come for you and to give his life for you. And your soul needs to sit still and hear that. And then listen. And reorient your life. Turn from your sin and say, Lord, I will listen to you. I want to listen to you for the rest of my days. And whatever else I want, whatever else I do, Lord, whatever else I do for you, I want my soul to be sitting and listening and taking its cues from you. That's what the Bible calls saved. That's what the Bible calls being born again, is sitting and listening to Jesus and receiving what he has done to make us right with him. Maybe that's the first time you need to do that this morning. And if you have done that, there is this propensity for all of us to do what Martha did and to be distracted by good things. We can be distracted by bad things, but the focus of this passage is that we can all be distracted by really good things. To get ahead of God, to run ahead of God, to be serving God so much and serving other people so much that pretty soon we are distracted from him, and then all of these nasty things start coming out sideways because we're worried and troubled and stressed about everything that we're trying to do, and we're trying to do it in our own strength. I will say to you this morning that preparing for this morning was difficult because I found most of my preparation time was spent asking God to forgive me for doing what Martha did. There's probably no passage in Scripture that has impacted me more than this Scripture over the years. there's probably no passage that I've needed more than this passage throughout the years. And yet, I still, like Martha, can be sucked away into distraction and anxiety. And so if that is what's been going on with your heart this morning, may we come to him and let him correct us and taste again and see that he is good. He is the good portion. And we may need to build into our lives, and we need to build into our lives times where we just sit or we kneel or we get in our face and we listen to Jesus as we look at his word and soak it in. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for not giving up on us. We thank you for choosing to come and sit in the living room of these two sisters and speak. And then the words you spoke, they didn't stay inside that little home, but they were amplified beyond that home in the years that followed as the story was shared. And those sound waves have made it all the way to here in 2019 on the other side of the ocean. And we hear the same words, that one thing is needed. Lord, thank you for cutting through the noise and telling us what is most needed. Thank you for speaking. And Lord, help us by your grace to listen well, to sit still regularly so that we can hear you through your word, that we would not run ahead, that we would not substitute serving for being with you, and that the being with you and hearing from you and listening well to you would fuel our serving, not make it unnecessary, but it would fuel it, and that you would use it in a greater way. Jesus, we thank you for what you have done for us, and we pray this in your name.